In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is what C.S. Lewis calls the grand miracle. The grand miracle. He said, quote, "The Christian story is precisely the story of one grand miracle. The Christian assertion being that what is beyond all space and time, which is uncreated, eternal, came into nature, into human nature, descended into his own universe, and rose again, bringing nature up with him." He said, it is precisely one great miracle. If you take that away, there is nothing specifically Christian left. That's the big picture of our faith. That's what drags people out on New Year's morning to go to church. I'm overwhelmed with our congregation, but not surprised. And that big picture, that central tenet of our faith is the foundation upon which we can build a life of joy and hope and love. It gives our lives purpose, and when we become characters in God's story, and his life and love saving us, and that love flowing through us into others. So our lives are no longer built on performance, but on a person, Jesus Christ. So if I might use the phrase, even though I'm not like many of you a software engineer, when this software is running through our minds, then our lives reflect it, right? Our lives always reflect that which we are mainly focused on. Jesus would say, you can know the tree by the fruit it bears. So this New Year's is a good time to ask oneself, how do I perceive myself? A little introspection. We might ask, what software is running in me this morning? Is it the software of the Word made flesh? Or there are a bunch of others out there you are familiar with, the one with the most toys wins. That's a popular software. Or the one that says, I'm not really enough. Or the one that says, failure is not an option. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, because we all have those other softwares in us, right? Because of the life and the culture we live in. I mean, who can doubt that Christmas, certainly my Christmas, is a celebration of commerce? There's something that just releases all kinds of good things into me when I open my gifts. And we're constantly being seduced to believe that our stuff, especially our brand new stuff, will make us happy and successful. That program's in there. And then we have this software. It's really a kind of malware that puts a negative valence on all our thinking by suggesting we're not worthy enough, we're not good enough, we're not loving enough, we're just not enough. So this brings us back to the incarnation. Did God really enter the sinful, messed up, confused flesh to which we belong? Or did he just enter the perfect flesh of the perfect man, born from the perfect woman, and who would then therefore be as different from us as Superman? I mean, there would be no way we could relate to such a person. But God, in fact, did enter into our broken, fallen flesh. A few weeks ago, some of you were at the wonderful forum that Mary Woodward did, our resident art historian, and she showed some artwork from the earliest Christian times up into the Renaissance. And when we got to the Italian Renaissance, it was really clear, you all are familiar with this, so it doesn't shock us, but everybody in those paintings looked like a 17th century Italian, right? They did. And I asked, a neophyte question, well, did they ever paint people that looked like people look in the Middle East? And she said, well, what they did was, look back here at this picture of the three kings, that one looks like a Middle Easterner. All the rest of them look like Italians. And we understand that, right? And that's a positive instinct for us. We expect the Native American artist to paint a Native American Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. It's a proper instinct of the incarnation to do so. Although I've known some people, especially in the South, who got a little nervous when they'd see the Holy Family were all African American or maybe Chinese. I remember walking in a library in Salisbury, North Carolina, and they had all the, you know, the magazines laid out on the racks. And I came across one with this funny face on it. It was Popular Mechanics. And I said, what does that have to do with mechanics? So I read the article, and it was what scientists did. They had unearthed a skull from first century Palestine. And then they did that computer stuff where they put on the skin one layer at a time to make it look like a person. And there it was. And they said, this is as close as we can come to the face of Jesus. And of course, in 2002, all I could think was it looked like a Middle Eastern terrorist. Which brings me to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, which Stephanie and I were just there for a few days. And it's my first trip to that magnificent cathedral. I know some of you have said you've been there many times. At the back of the apse, behind the big altar, they have a bunch of smaller altars and chapels. And they have in one of them something known as the Christa. The Christa. You may remember back in Holy Week, 1984, Edwina Sandys, an artist, created what was a bronze cast of a nude female Christ on the cross. And it sat, bound to an acrylic cross, sat on the altar. They said when it first came out, the general reception was positive. But as you might imagine, there was a strong backlash among some. How dare you turn Christ into a female and a naked female at that? There were denunciations, and apparently the cathedral got lots of hate mail for participating in this blasphemy. Well, when I finally got around to the back to actually look at Christa, she's about that tall, something like that, and I found it a powerful witness to the incarnation. That the Word becoming Jesus, the Word was becoming all flesh, and of course that includes female flesh. In fact, incarnation could just as easily have been female in a different culture. So Christa didn't make me feel separated from Jesus, but closer to him as I looked at her. Does that make sense? See that? And she sat. Where they placed her is under this great, you know, early 20th century, the stained glass of that place is magnificent. It's a stained glass of the ascending Jesus. So the ascending Jesus taking human nature to the right hand of God, also taking up Christa with him. So Jesus joins together earth and heaven. Our world and God's world are now one in him. And therefore, it takes no great leap of faith to believe that that love is now flowing through us out into the world. And it's the unbelievable privilege of letting this central idea work its way and to organize our lives around faith, hope, and love. And it includes everyone. Includes everyone. Think of the most despicable human being you know or can imagine. Jesus also entered their flesh. And the truth is, then, there are only two categories of people. There are people who know that Christ has embraced them with the love and healing and forgiveness of God. And there are those people who do not know they have been embraced with the love, forgiveness of God. So that first group that know, our task is to strengthen them in that knowledge. To those who don't know, our task is to tell them and to act out that love towards them. So here's your New Year's resolution. Now, most of you are of the age that you learn resolutions don't work so good, and so you mainly swarm off, which I think is a good practice. But here's a resolution you can try if you want. I mean this very literally. It would go something like this. I resolve that every time I become aware that I'm running that negative software of unworthiness or fear or anxiety or judgmentalism, when I become aware that that's where my brain is going, I will consciously at that moment replace that story by remembering the story of the Word made flesh. We can say to ourselves, one way to do this is to simply quote a scripture passage out loud, preferably. That works best for me if I'm sort of alone, that reminds us of this fact. So the one I quote a lot, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live within the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just saying that replaces that other story and brings us again into that place of light and hope and joy and purpose, lifting us out of that negativity. Find your own verse. That might be something to resolve to do this year. Find your own verse, the one that speaks to you, that you can remind yourself when you slip in, which we do moment by moment, slip in to a different story. And of course, one you can use is the one we heard in the gospel. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.